Chapter 11. Paul's Transformation. Boasting is necessary, though it is not profitable, but I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 12 verse 1. I started this writing with this quote, and it was quite intentional for me to do so. The Apostle Paul is my greatest inspiration and hero, other than Jesus himself. I could speak volumes about the fire this man lights in my spirit. In my previous writing, Passion, Hungry and Thirsty for More of God, I shared about my similar experience to that of the Apostle Paul and the Apostle John, written in God's Word. At this point, I don't want to relate too much of this encounter of mine, because it is my intention to do so in chapter 13. At this time, I want to speak of a man who has penned some 13 or more books of the New Testament and one who was spoken of as an apostle and leader of the early church where signs and wonders were happening as recorded in the book of Acts. In starting this wonderful journey with Paul, I believe we should go to the scripture in 2 Corinthians 12 verse 2-7. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body I do not know, God knows, was caught up to the third heaven. And I know that this man, whether in the body or away from the body I do not know, God knows, was caught up into paradise, and he heard utterances beyond the power of man to put into words, which man is not permitted to utter. Of this same man's experience I will boast, but of myself personally I will not boast, except as regards my infirmities, my weaknesses. Should I desire to boast, I shall not be a witness braggart, for I shall be speaking the truth. But I abstain from it, so that no one may form a higher estimate of me than is justified by what he sees in me or hears from me. And to keep me from being puffed up and too much elated by the exceeding greatness, preeminence, of these revelations, there was given me a thorn, a splinter in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to rack and buffet and harass me, to keep me from being excessively exalted. As we proceed with this intense account of the heavenly beyond the veil experience, Paul is careful not to draw attention to himself, but rather to the one who he is referring to in that heavenly seeker place. Do you want to go there? Do we count the cost of such a commitment? The question is, are we willing to pay such a great price? Verses 8-12. Three times I called upon the Lord and besought him about this and begged that it might depart from me. But he said to me, My grace, my favor and loving kindness and mercy is enough for you, sufficient against any danger and enables you to bear the trouble manfully. For my strength and power are made perfect, fulfilled and completed, and show themselves most effective in your weakness. Therefore, I will all the more gladly glory in my weakness and infirmities, that the strength and power of Christ, the Messiah, may rest, yes, may pitch a tent over and dwell upon me. So for the sake of Christ, I am well pleased and take pleasure in infirmities, insults, hardships, persecutions, perplexities, and distresses. For when I am weak in human strength, then I am truly strong, able, powerful in divine strength. Now I have been speaking like a fool, but you forced me to it, for I ought to have been saved the necessity and commended by you. For I have not fallen short one bit or proved myself at all inferior to those superlative false apostles of yours, even if I am nothing, a nobody. Indeed, the signs that indicate a genuine apostle were performed patiently in miracles and wonders and mighty works. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 17 is quoted as, Then we, the living ones who remain on the earth, shall simultaneously be caught up along with the resurrected dead in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so always, through the eternity of the eternities, we shall be with the Lord. Here the Apostle Paul reveals the experience he had of being raptured into the third heavens. Although he does not name himself in verse 2, it becomes obvious in verse 7 that he is speaking of himself. Why didn't Paul mention this experience to every group of believers to whom he wrote, but only to the Corinthians? Perhaps, the Corinthians were constantly bragging about their spiritual visions and gifts, 1 Corinthians 12. And he wanted to demonstrate to them that in spite of his unique experience, he was a mere human, with a mortal body, who must not boast about his purely spiritual experiences, which are not part and parcel of every believer while in this mortal body. Paul wanted to impress upon the Corinthians that in fact, he knew what he was talking about when he spoke of spiritual matters. Refer to 2 Corinthians 12 verse 1, quoted at the beginning of this chapter. He came as close to the super-terrestrial world as anyone had, and was given the opportunity to speak about it. Had he so chosen, Paul went to paradise. But he hesitated to speak about it. However, in order to bring about a sense of balance between the spiritual and the natural in the lives of the Corinthians, he found it necessary to refer to his experience. It is interesting to note that this record of Paul's rapture into paradise, the third heaven, God's home, comes immediately after 2 Corinthians 11:32 and 33, which gives reference to an experience Paul had while he was in Damascus. We learn that fellow believers were successful in rescuing Paul by lowering Paul in a basket through a window in the wall of the city. We may question why the God who could lift Paul's spirit up to the heavenlies did not also liberate his body in a miraculous manner from those who sought to kill him in Damascus. In 2 Corinthians 11 verse 16 to 33, we have the enumeration of his sufferings in the body and the spirit, which indicates that this very spiritual person, one who was raptured, caught up, into the heavenlies, was not exempt from physical, mental, and emotional anguish. There are those who pretend they have experiences similar to Paul's and constantly want to recount them. Paul was so modest about this experience that he speaks as if it happened to another person. What a contrast! I believe that it has to do with the heart's intent. Our motive. As we know, God does want us to give our testimonies. Proverbs 16 verse 2 says, "All the ways of a man are clean in his own sight, but the Lord weighs the motives." Are we giving glory to God or man? Paul was a godly man and had a beyond-the-veil experience. His track record proved, without a doubt, his fruitfulness in fulfilling his ministry. He was called by God, given a commission, and served with humility. As the bride of Christ, today we must consider God's servants, present and past, who have walked this way and mirror their examples. Today I challenge you, bridal remnant, to learn from these examples and to walk in this realm, for this is ours for eternity.